Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Dr. Cupertino and the Hour for Power and the Hour of Power show. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy again that you are tuning in to hear a subject that is very near to my heart. It is very near to God's heart, and it should be very near to your heart. God is upset. He was upset centuries ago. He's upset now. But before we get started, let's bow our heads. Let's fall down. Let's crawl on the floor. Whatever. However, you can listen and get this prayer through. We're going to say a word of prayer to the God of the universe. Hello, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You didn't have to do it, but you did. You didn't have to touch us with your finger of love and wake us up for one more day. You had something in mind. We might not have had anything in mind. We might not have anything in mind at all regarding you. But somehow you pulled us through. We made it, and now here we are to listen to what thus saith the Lord and to hear from your divine heart, your divine mind. Our minds are messed up. We might have had whiskey last night, might have been knocked in the head last night. Oh, well, so what? We're here to hear from the mind of God through the Dr. Cupertino Show, Hour for Power. Thank you, God. Bless us. Bless us. Whether we need to be blessed or not, bless us. And we're going to do your will, and we're going to give you the glory. We're going to make sure you get all the glory. Because you live, and because we have our being, because you live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God in heaven. Oh, my God. We found out last week from Genesis 6 that you felt hurt at your heart that you had created man. The Bible says you were sad that you even made man. And you know what? If you felt that way then, I know you feel that same way today. You know, some say that you made a mistake, God. Some say that. We know Scripture says that you felt sorry at the creation of man. My, oh my. When we look at today's sorry state of man, we can see why. Murder, mayhem, hatred, and strife. What has become of the human race in the eyes of a living God? What is he supposed to do about this? All these things, crazy things going on in the world. What can he do? What has he said he is going to do? Well, we're going to hear today what the real deal is and why God felt hurt. We're even going to hear from a colonel, Colonel William Harrison, former chief of police with the Capitol Heights, Maryland division, also a member of the clergy, on his insights into the heart of God and why all should be interested in pleasing God. This God of second chances. Aren't you glad God is a God of second chances? I sure am. I tell you, how could we live without God? We cannot do this. But right now, just to set the record straight, we're going to move straight on into our lesson. Now, if any of you want to call in, if you want to have something to say about what we're going to be talking about, by all means, please do it. Please do so. But right now, let's talk about God being hurt. Let's talk about God being hurt. Let's look at why God is hurt. Number one, when God created man, he had something in mind for man. He wanted man to please him and obey him. And this is why we will be hearing at around 8:15 from Reverend Dr. William Harrison on the show. He's going to be calling in And you can have an opportunity to hear and listen to what this great man of God has to say. So I want all of you, now make sure you tell your friends to call in on the host call number at 213-325-3434, or if you're guest calling in to speak to Dr. Harrison, Dr. Harrison will be calling in on 347-855-8225. Again, to hear from Dr. William Harrison at 815, call in on the area code 347-855-8225, and you'll be able to talk and hear from this great man of God. Why is God sorry? Number one, he's looking at you and what you're doing. Why is God upset? Well, he's looking at what you're doing and what you're not doing for his kingdom. Why is God feeling sorry that he created man? Well, look at what's going on in the world. Let's look at the Middle East. Everything you can think about that is unholy, untrue, and unfaithful, many are saying is coming out of the Middle East. Well, I don't think so. You know why I don't think that's true? Because the Bible says that all men are lying under the authority of the other God. The Bible also says that all have sinned. We're born in sin, and there's none that doeth good in all of the earth. So no one can point their finger at just any particular race or particular city or particular state and say, oh, you know what, they need to go to hell. They're no good. They're rotten. God has a creation of human beings. They might be black. They might be white. They might be crippled. They might be blind. So what? God, the creator, said that he created all man, including woman, in his image. So that means everything breathing, walking upright, has a responsibility to God. So, of course, if we're not following God's edict, if we're not interested in what God is interested in, if we're not trying to do his will, if we don't care anything about his will, if we don't care anything about what he says, yes, he's going to be upset. The Bible says he created man for a purpose. What is that purpose? Go all the way back to Genesis, chapters 1, 2, and 3. They tell the story of creation. But mainly, the main reason why he created man. He says, I create man because I want them to beautify the earth, roam to and fro in the land, and domesticate the animal, live in a garden-like environment, and bring holiness and glory to my name. Well, we know the story. If you're over 5 years old, you've heard about a woman in the garden. She ate some fruit of a tree that was forbidden. They were thrown out. The angel standing there with the flaming sword, day in, day out. Everybody knows that story. But the story and the knowledge thereof is not enough for them to say, look, you know what? I'm not going to run any more con games. I'm not going to try to fool anyone. I'm not going to try to hurt my neighbor. I'm not going to try to kill anyone. What is going on? Of course, a creator that created the perfect human pair is interested in their offspring and what's going on with their offspring. Look at us today, thinking we've done everything we could that's big enough to be done. Look at our sorry state, dying 70 or 80. Someone says, oh, you know, she died at 85. She lived a good life. 85? Oh, my God. What is that to a God that created the universe and that's been living for eons of time, billions of years, even his archenemy, millions of years? What is 70 or 80? That's nothing to gloat and brag about. Something is wrong. If he created man and the Bible says he did to live forever, don't you know he's hurt at his heart? That instead of his creating beautiful man and woman living forever, now their lives are cut down to 70 years. What in the world is that? The Bible says a day in his courtyard is as 1,000 years, and here man, flesh and blood, lives to be 70 or 80. That is nothing to boast about. By the time you rise up, you get knowledge, and you can spread that knowledge, you're dead, laying in your coffin. No, that's nothing. So, of course, God has heard that its creation and their lifespan has been cut short. And if you look out at the world and you see everyone hating someone, you're seeing murder, you're seeing a lot of human trafficking going on, God is not the author of all of that. So, of course, he's upset. He created the human pair to get out and do good, to live forever, and to bring glory as creatures, his creation, to his name. That has not happened. So guess what? Here we are now, suffering, sick, trying to get to a doctor, hungry, broke, might can't see, might be going blind. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something? You know, God is sad. He's sitting sad about that. Now, how can you make his heart glad? Even though we're in this bad state that we're in, how can we make the heart of God glad? Well, number one, we can follow this edict. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love yourself. Of course, you want to love the neighbor, the person that's staring back at you. He has eyes, he has heart, he has a nose, he has a full body just like yours. So, of course, if God created you with a certain form of knowledge to do the right thing, then you're looking at God in the human flesh, because that man or woman that you're looking at, they're on 2 feet. How are they on 2 feet? How do they have their being? They have their being because, number one, God is within. Number two, he created them. Number three, obviously, he has a job for them, or you would not be in their environment. Also, number four, they, too, have the spirit within. So no matter who you are, what color you are, no matter how many degrees you might have, no matter how many languages you can speak, God is not concerned with that. Because whatever you have, God gave it. And whatever you have, the next person can get it too. Because James said in the Bible that if you do not have, it's because you ask it not. So whatever your neighbor has, you can get it too. So you don't have to covet. You do not have to try to hurt him, to take what is theirs. You know, my dad used to say, if you have enemies, you can turn them into friends by caring about them. So if you have an enemy next door, they're playing music too loud, you know, they're walking about half naked, there's something you can do about that. But as it stands right now, listen, our job now is to bring joy into the heart of God. How does a son bring joy into his father's heart? Well, he obeys him. He loves him. He seeks out for his welfare. His main concern is looking out for him. All these things we can practice with a real, true, living God. You know why? Because the Bible in Revelation, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Obadiah, we can go all the way to Micah, we go all the way to Zechariah, all of the major minor prophets said, this is what you can do. You can love God with your whole soul, mind, and heart. The apostles said the same thing. That's one step to saying, God, I'm sorry that you hurt. I'm not going to hurt you anymore. Purpose in your heart that you're going to love God. Now, you say, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to obey him. I'm not going to stop lying. I'm not going to stop whoremongering. I'm not going to stop warmongering. I'm not going to stop any of those things, doctor. So there's no need in me fooling myself. There's no need in me fooling you. Oh, yes, you are. Do you know when you're going to stop? You're going to stop when you're laying in your grave. That's when you're going to stop. Let's not be funny about this. You have time right now to turn this thing around and to create in you, because God says you can do it. You can go to God, and he will help you create in you a new heart and to renew that heart and to renew a right spirit within. You can do that. You don't have to live like a con artist. You don't have to live like a murderer. You can say, God, I'm sorry. You know, last week we said this. People are saying, oh, I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What else can you say? Killer in a courtroom, I'm sorry. Some of his time is taken out. Remorse. Say you're sorry. God felt hurt at his heart. You too can say this. God, I'm sorry. You know what? I was crazy. I was drunken. So-and-so made me do it. You know, God is such a good God. He'll listen to anything. He might not act on it. He'll listen to the killer. He'll listen to the murderer. He'll listen to the adulterer. He'll listen to us all. He will listen and judges not. He has a set time to judge, but right now he judges not. You know why we know this is true? Because just look out your window. Bible says he lets the rain and snow and the sun, everything fall on the just and the unjust. But you can move from a position of being unjust. You found out today that, hey, God is sad. He's hurt. He's upset that he created man. I can understand that. But right now we have an opportunity to turn that around. Go to God and say, I'm sorry. Go to God and say, listen. I may not know much about you. I may not know much about the Bible. But listen, I'm tired of being a bad person. I'm tired of robbing people. I'm tired of thinking about killing people. I'm tired about taking what is not mine and walking on down the street. There's a karmic judgment on that. God doesn't have to strike you dead for doing some bad things. The law is in place for that. Sickness and death is in place for that. Holy Scripture says the wages of sin is death. So you don't have to mock God. You can, but the Bible says he that mocketh God shall not be left unpunished. That's what the word says. Word says you're going to reap what you sow. God is not one to be mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you don't have to wait for God to punish you or to come down with a bolt of lightning and destroy you while you're on 2 feet. God has his mechanisms in place for that. But before it come to that, we can go to God and say, God, I don't know anything about my ancestors. In fact, I don't even care anything about them. I care about getting right now with you. Yes, my father stole. Yes, my mother robbed. I can't go any way all down the street thinking that's okay. I'm here now to say, hey, I'm sorry. Now, what you do with that is your business. But right now, I want to serve you. I want to talk about you. I want to find out how I can love you. How do I love something I can't see, I can't even feel? Come on. Is that a joke? No, it is not a joke. You know why it's not a joke? Because Holy Scripture says, no man seeth God and live. God is a spirit. You want to die and come out to spirit form to see God, or you want to walk on earth? Bible says the earth has he given to the sons of men, but the heaven is my domain. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait until then. You can do just what we just recommended. Just say, hey, God, I'm sorry. Didn't know what I was doing. I'm sorry. Felt good. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. But right now, I'm here for another opportunity. My, oh, my, oh, my. And I need you, God. I need you every day. I need you every hour. Whatever they did is fine. But now I'm coming to you. I'm standing in the gap. Yes, you felt hurt. Here I'm standing, nothing in my hand, human, mere mortal, saying, God, I'm sorry. Take me back. Take me in. Help me, God. This is what I need you to do in the name of Jesus. I've done everything I was big enough to do. Hasn't got me anywhere. I'm broke, hungry, scared to look out the day window day or night. Scared to open the door day or night. Just scared, living in fear. Why? Why? Because I'm in an unredemption state. Take me back. I'm sorry. Give me a second chance. Please, God. I'm going to church, not doing me any good. Hanging in the street, not doing me any good. Giving my woman all my money, not doing me any good. One step from jail today, not doing me any good. That's not going to do me any good. I'm sorry too now, God. You felt hurt? I'm sorry. What can I do? Send me out to the nations. You already said in Matthew that this is what I should be doing, going therefore into all the nations, preaching and teaching, talking to people about you, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You've already told me what to do. I'm not going to do it. You know why I'm not going to do it? Because I'm made out of flesh, and I cannot do anything without your help. Jeremiah 10:23 says, this is truth and prophecy. It does not belong to man who is walking upright on 2 feet to command his steps. Okay. You said that. You said it through the prophet Jeremiah. So what can I do? If I can't direct my own steps, you already know I'm going to sin. I'm going to falter. I'm going to fail and faint. I'm not going to be able to make your heart happy. So I need you. You're the turnaround man. The woman reached out just to touch the hem of your garment. She was made whole. I don't have a garment that I can touch, but I have a mouth that I can say and call on God and say, help me, God. Help me. Without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I'm nothing. I can be nothing. I can do nothing. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Take me in too. He said, if I follow him, I'm going to be as a son of God. Okay, I want to follow you. Take me in. Yes, you're sad. You're unhappy. I know you are. I'm unhappy too. I see what's going on in the world. Take me in. Take me in. My enemies are ever present. My adversaries are ever present. I want to make your heart glad. But those people, hallelujah, let me be a light in a darkened world. I know how to get rid of them. I know how to get rid of them by walking upright in your will. But I'm not thinking about them. I'm coming to you for myself. I'm coming to you because I stand in the need of prayer. I'm coming to you because you created me. May not see them tomorrow, but right now while it's day, I'm saying, God, I'm sorry. You feel badly for what's going on? Suit me up. Boot me up. Strengthen me, and I'll get out there, and I will tell a dying world that you live. I don't care, because I already found out I can only wear one pair of shoes a day, eat something, drink some bread or water a day, run to and fro. I don't care. You said you were going to take the high and the mighty of the earth, and you were going to put them to shame. Well, let me help you put them to shame, God. You've already said, I'm calling you out of a sinful world. I'm calling you out of a world that does not deserve to be forgiven because I sent my son down through 42 generations. He walked amongst mean men. He did just what he said he was going to do. He went all the way to Golgotha, place of the skull in Roman language, Golgotha. Okay. He went all the way, and on the third day, he got up just like he said he was. He went all the way back. My daddy says, when you get lost, you can't find your way, remember the cross. He said, hurry up, run, and hide behind that cross. I said, what is that, Bishop? What are you talking about? When you find yourself out of a line, head to the cross. Head to the cross, because that is the beginning and the end of the story. Without the cross and the work of what Jesus did on that cross, there would be no redemption power. How could he go back to heaven with all power in his hand? He said, I'm up now, and I got all power in my hands. I'm going back to where I came from. Did just what he said he's going to do. Now it's your turn. It's your turn. You know God is sad. He does not deserve to be sad just because he gave you a chance. Well, who are you? Take your rightful place as a son of God. Take it. Take it. They say, take back the streets. Take back a life out of the hands of Satan. You know he's not going to do any good. What does he have for you? 70 years. Strife. Don't know if you're going to be dead tonight. Don't know if you're going to be shot in the head tomorrow. You just don't know. But with God, you know this much. For he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all who might believe in him shall have eternal life. That much you know. That the promises of God are sure. Titus 1:2 says that God, who dwelleth in heaven, cannot lie. Get in behind someone that cannot lie. He promised you that. He promised. God's promises are sure. He promised you eternal life. Don't you want that? If you're crazy, you still want eternal life. The crazy man, someone told me, say, doctor, they're calling on Jesus in this insane asylum. The crazy man recognizes he needs God. He needs the redemption power of the Son of God. Get in line. Get in line and purpose in your heart that you're going to make God's heart glad. You're going to say, God, for God I live and for God I'm going to die right now. What else is on the books for you to do? What else are you going to do? You done did it all. Ain't done you no good. Ran a big corporation. Ain't done you no good. Got all the money in the world. Ain't doing you no good. Can't get your hands on. What else are you going to do? Purpose today. That while God felt hurt at his heart, that he had made man, purpose in his heart that you're going to change that around. Go to the God. Flee to God. The Bible says, seek him out while he may be found for refuge and see what you get. the promise of eternal life and God's blessing on earth and then above. God bless you. Have mercy on you guys. I don't know what happened with Brother Reverend Harrison, but we'll find out. Perhaps he will show up next week. He's going to be having his own show too as well. So look for more details on that. God bless you all. And remember this. If God said it, you can put your life on it. Bye-bye. In Jesus' name. Goodbye. See you next week.